Now, most resistance to the Confederate draft was passive. It wasn't really active. The men simply didn't report when called into service. In East Tennessee, for example, 25,000 men were conscripted, but only 6,000 reported. Now, that's an area of especially high Unionist sentiment. Local support for the draft evaders often prevented the Confederate government from forcing them into the Army if these men came from an area of high Unionist sentiment, such as East Tennessee. Georgia and Alabama had especially poor records of compliance with the Conscription Act. And in all, probably just over 50% of the men conscripted by the Confederate government failed to appear, failed to serve. But we have to remember, to put that in perspective, that relatively few men were directly conscripted into the Confederate Army. The draft laws in both the North and South, remember, had been designed to encourage volunteering, not designed literally to draft men into the Army. So a quite small percentage of the Confederate Army was actually conscripted. So the estimate of about half of the conscripted men avoiding service doesn't represent a really large number. All right, opposition to the draft is one evidence of unhappiness behind the lines in the Confederacy. Desertion was also sometimes an indicator of lack of support for the war. We have to be careful here, too, however, because there were different kinds of desertion in the Confederacy. There were men who would classify as true deserters. They left the Army with no intention of going back and didn't go back. Those are deserters. But there were also many men who, in response to pathetic letters from home or just an urge to visit home or the need to get home and put in a crop, would leave the Army, go home, and then return to the Army and fight sometimes for many more months or even years. Now, how do you treat those men? You can't treat those two categories in the same way. One is clearly a deserter for the entire war. The other obviously still has some allegiance to the Confederacy. However we count deserters, we do know when most desertions came. The first wave came in the spring of 1862 and early summer after the Confederate Congress changed the rules about how long the men would have to stay in the Army with the first Conscription Act. There's another spike after Gettysburg and Vicksburg. Many of those men, however, returned to the armies. And then beginning in late 1864, Confederate armies suffered from serious losses via desertion, and that trend continued on down into the spring of 1865. Many deserters tended to congregate in backwoods regions where they would be safe: western North Carolina, parts of Arkansas, northwestern Georgia, parts of Tennessee, southwest Virginia. These areas tended to harbor a good number of deserters, and those deserters were able to move around with impunity, really. Some formed guerrilla bands that terrorized the countryside, but mostly they simply lived and worked with no intention of fighting again. At least 105,000 Confederates deserted. That's about 13% of all who served. Remember, that 105,000 includes both the men who left and came back and the men who left and stayed gone from the Army. One deserter just couldn't resist writing Jefferson Davis to tell him exactly why he was happy to become a deserter. And so he wrote in this graphic language, and I'll quote him, "Our holy flag," he says, "I intend to abandon," quote, "our holy flag, the symbol of an adored Trinity, cotton, Negroes, and chivalry, and now bastard president of a political abortion, farewell." Now, this is one man's way of saying, I'm not going to fight for you anymore. So desertion is something else we could look at. Other Confederates hid goods from impressment agents, tried to shield the things they produced from the Confederate government. This reached fairly serious proportions and cost the men and animals at the front dearly in lost rations and forage. Nearly all Southern governors at some point opposed impressment and in some ways thwarted the national government's effort to collect some of the things they were trying to collect. There was also hoarding and profiteering in the Confederacy, as there is in every society, in every war. Wars present opportunities to make money, and there's always someone who wants to take advantage of that opportunity. Many white Southerners blamed Jewish merchants for most of the hoarding, but Jews, of course, were only a convenient target. Most of the people hoarding were not Jewish, but that was a convenient scapegoat for much of the white South.